Counsel, while you're getting settled, I'll just remind you that you each have 15 minutes to make your argument. Counsel for appellant, you will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. It's important that you both state your name and identify the party you represent when you begin your argument, and the podium may be raised or lowered with a button under the middle, I think, to suit your needs.
The last guy it should work for.
Yeah. He's, so when you are ready, you may proceed, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor. If it please the court, my name is Gary Luloff. I represent Dewey Hill, the appellant in this matter. Dewey Hill Townhome, Three Townhomes Association, Inc. I want to start by just on the higher level and just say, you know, the purpose of the prejudgment interest, which is the matter before the court, is to compensate the plaintiff for the loss of the use of the money, to deprive the defendant of any gain resulting from the use of money rightfully belonging to the plaintiff, and to promote settlement. The district court's order and respondent's position in this case subvert these purposes. They encourage litigation or delay. If we have to go to litigation in order to get, as a respondent implies, in order to be eligible for prejudgment interest, that sort of defeats the purpose of having an appraisal process and having processes that are designed to promote settlement and discourage litigation. Pre-award interest compensates for the loss of the use of money, and that's from Poehler. And Poehler makes clear, in this court in Oliver, which came down in January, made clear the pre-award interest is clearly available in an appraisal context. So any argument, and some of this is in response to the cross appeal, but any argument that it's not available in an appraisal context should just be moot here. The question is, where did the court, in our view, made two principal errors. The first principal error was it didn't consider the concept of common law prejudgment interest at all.
But what common law supported the notion that an appraisal award was subject to pre-award interest? I've not found any case in the appraisal context.
That you're correct, Your Honor, and that is, and the court didn't even say that, but that's fine. You might determine that. There is no, as far as we're concerned, as far as we found, there is no common law for appraisal interest. There are cases where common law has been applied for arbitration and for, we consider the fact that the Supreme Court under Poehler has added appraisal to as akin to arbitration.
Well,
leads to a reasonable conclusion.
I think that's a stretch to say that the Poehler case equated appraisal with arbitration, because that issue was specifically identified as not having been raised as to with respect to the triggering action, and so the Supreme Court avoided that issue. The Supreme Court just said, this is what the district court found, and we find no error in the district court's finding.
I take your point, Your Honor, and perhaps I overstated that. The fact of the matter is that common law prejudgment interest arises at the discernibility or ascertainability of the damages.
Well,
In this case, we've had that triggering event. There was, we believe, an ascertainability of damages. We had insurance for our roof. Our roof blew off. We said to the insurance company,
right. Give
us a roof.
Right. No, we're familiar with the facts.
Yeah.
I actually want to go to the issue that you raised with respect to the triggering event. Is that issue appropriately raised here, whether there was a triggering event, and if so, what was the triggering event?
Was it raised in, I'm sorry,
is
under the common law?
No. Put aside the common law. Is the issue of whether or not there is a triggering event here, and if there is a triggering event, what is the triggering event? Is that issue properly before us today?
I believe it is, Your Honor.
Because I think that's important, because I think that's an important distinction between Poehler. Because Poehler, the Supreme Court specifically said, no, that issue is not before us, so we're not even going to consider that. And that's part of the lengthy dissent by Justice Anderson. And then we had a published case after that, the K&L land holdings case, that we basically followed Poehler. But even in that case, the issue of whether or not there was a triggering event was not raised. It seems to me that that issue is raised here. So my question to you then is, if that's appropriately before us, what was the triggering event? There are three triggering events that can occur. What was the triggering event that occurred here?
All right. And I'll answer your question. I'd note that in both of those cases, the court did find that for a prejudgment interest.
Right, but only because they didn't get into the issue of whether or not there was a triggering event, and it was because it was never challenged. There was never a challenge brought to say there wasn't an appropriate triggering event.
So that leads me to the second error that we believe the court made, which is that the court said the triggering event is the notice of claim, written notice of claim. And the court said in order to be a written notice of claim, it took the General Mills standard, and it said for a written notice of claim, it has to be, well, in writing, notifying the other party of, I'm sorry, I do have it right. A demand for payment in writing and advise the defendant of the nature of damages. And the court took a very strict view of demand for payment. The court basically required an explicit demand for payment in the notice of claim.
And found that it was, in fact, the demand for the appraisal that constituted the notice to start the interest accruing, correct?
Right. And ignored the clear idea of what an insurance policy is. An insurance policy, when we notify the insurer, hey, we need a new roof, we're demanding that they provide us, that's the insurer, they're the insurer, we're the insured. The entire essence of the contract is that when we make a written claim of property loss, and they know exactly what they need to provide, a new roof, a repaired roof.
But the issue at that point was how much has to be paid to resolve that claim.
But for the purposes of prejudgment interest, the precise determination of the amount isn't necessary. You have to be able to determine it, but you don't have to know it at that moment.
So, as I understand the record, on August 19th of 2013, the first written notice of loss was submitted by your client to the insurance company. Am I right about that?
Your Honor, I believe that's correct.
Are you saying that was when it should have, that the notice given then in writing was sufficient to commence the accrual of interest?
I am saying that.
Okay, so just to be clear, so there are three types of triggering events. One is commencement of the action.
Mm-hmm.
Two is a demand for arbitration.
Yes.
Correct? And three is at the time of a written notice of claim.
Yes.
So that's the third one. So is your position that the August 9th, 2003, when you notified the insurer of the loss, that was the triggering event?
Your Honor, it's my understanding that was not considered in writing. I'm not aware. In candor, I wasn't at the trial.
Okay.
There's no dispute that on August 19th there was a written notice of claim.
Right. What I'm trying to understand is what's your argument? What's your position? Is your position that was the triggering event because that was a notice of a claim?
That is our position under 549.09. Our position under the common law is that when the damages were readily ascertainable, that the that prejudgment interest.
Well, let's put aside the common law. Let's just look at the statute now. Because I think that's really the key issue here.
Yes, that is our position.
Was the action commenced within 2 years of that written notice of claim?
Your Honor, under in Oliver, I believe it was, the court found that where there's an appraisal, you're not going to have an action like litigation. And again, my point is,
doesn't that mean that the district court was right then in saying interest accrues from the time the demand for appraisal was made?
No, I think the district court was wrong there. I think that the it's pre-award interest. The interest stops accruing at the time of the award. And so we, from the notice of claim to the time of the award is less than 2 years. We're within, I think at that point, we're within the...
But an demand for an appraisal is not an action.
The demand for appraisal cannot result in a judgment under 54909 by itself. I mean, appraisers don't have the authority to enter judgments that I'm aware of.
In Oliver, the court found that the pre-award interest was available where there was notice of loss on May 20th, 2015. And the action was filed in court to confirm the appraisal award on October 25th, 2017. In footnote 5 of the decision, this court declined to determine the exact limitation for the time. But it makes sense that the purpose of that 2 years is to cut off the interest and not allow us to drag it out and put undue.
Right, but like Judge Rodenberg pointed out, the language seems pretty clear under Section 549.09 Subdivision 1B that if the triggering event is a written notice of claim, and let's assume for the sake of argument right now that you actually did have it in writing, okay? Mm-hmm. So that triggers it. Then the next sentence says, quote, the action must be commenced within 2 years of a written notice of claim for interest. And I don't think there's anything in the record indicating that that any action was commenced within 2 years of the written notice.
I understand the court's issue with that, and I don't have an answer for that other than to point back to Oliver and say, in Oliver, this court didn't have a problem with that.
Okay. Well, and I just want to be clear also. So you're not saying that the triggering action here was a demand for arbitration or demand for, what's the, blanking out the other word?
Appraisal.
Appraisal, thank you. Starts with an A.
I'm not saying that in my principal argument. I am willing to say that in as a cross-respondent, if the court does not agree with our position that the notice of claim was when the written notice of claim, or going back again to the common law, when the damages were ascertainable, then the cross appellant's view that there was no triggering event for the demand for appraisal would, I would argue with that.
And if there is if you go along the lines of arguing an alternative that the demand for appraisal is a triggering event, what is the date for that?
I have that right here. March 26, 2015, I should
the
remember.
The date that the district court found.
That was the appraisal demand, yeah.
You don't quarrel with the district court's determination of the date of the demand for appraisal?
No, I'm fond of that date. It's my birthday.
Is it March 25th or 26th?
26th.
26th, okay. Nice birthday present there.
Yeah. Well, except for the other mistakes. I have nothing. I think the court understands our position, and I thank you for your time.
You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal if you choose to use it. Counsel for respondent.
Good morning. Your Honors and Counsel, Joe Lulick on behalf of auto owners responded here and also cross appellant. You know, ordinarily, the calculation of interest is a pretty simple thing to do. You take a principal amount, in this case, about $77,000, or in any other case, the amount recovered. And then you take an interest rate, in this case, statutorily mandated 10%. You multiply that times the principal amount, divide it by 365, and then figure out how many days you got. The problem is where do you start? What's the starting point? What in this statute says that the demand for appraisal is the triggering event to start that calculation to run? And there isn't anything in the statute that says that.
Poehler seems to say that.
Well,
doesn't Poehler seem to say that an appraisal is the same as an arbitration?
It does not seem to say that, Your Honor.
I think it exactly says that.
Well, I think it says that this issue is not before us. This whole calculation issue is not before us. The triggering event is not before us.
The triggering event, but the Supreme Court certainly upheld the district court's finding that the demand for appraisal was a triggering event.
No, Judge. Poehler absolutely kicked that can down the road. I can read the last sentence.
We've talked about whether it's Poehler or Poehler.
I'm sorry, which is it, do you think?
There's people with that name.
I'm Croatian.
Near New Ulm, and their name is Poehler.
Okay. We're talking about the same case.
So Poehler, I'll say Poehler, because actually the previous case that we heard on this after, they said Poehler as well.
But I can read the footnote too.
No, I understand, counsel. I just wanted to make sure that I understand your position there. My point is that ultimately the Supreme Court affirmed the district court's determination that the pre-award interest starting date would be from the demand of the appraisal, correct?
It did not affirm it because it wasn't before it, Your Honor.
No, but it ultimately...
It affirmed the result.
Right.
It did not affirm a decision with any type of authority that says the district court was right. What it did, it said, because the parties have not challenged the finding of the district court...
I'm familiar with that language.
Okay.
My point is that was what the district court found.
It was.
And the Supreme Court did not say that finding was erroneous.
The reason it didn't say it, Judge, though.
I understand. I understand the reason why. I'm very intimately familiar with this case.
Okay. Yeah. So the answer to your question is, I think it's no, because they didn't deal with the issue. They can't affirm it or not reverse it if they don't deal with it, in my way of thinking, anyway. I mean, if I say, well, this issue isn't before us, so we can't reverse it or even deal with it or change it, then it's not an affirmation or a reversal of it either way. It's a non-decision.
Right, because it wasn't a dispute. This wasn't a case where somebody was arguing as opposed to different dates that interest accrued. As I understand it, the demand for appraisal came within months of the loss in Poehler, so it was a different situation. But to me, the significance of Poehler is the language that provides that 549.09 applies to appraisal awards.
Okay, Judge, I do this a lot, as you know, and when I read Poehler, the first thing I said was, okay, now how are you going to calculate it, okay? What are you going to use for the triggering event? When does interest start to accrue?
But wouldn't you treat it just as you would, wouldn't you swap in the word appraisal for demand for arbitration becomes the demand for appraisal, and you apply the statute by its terms, don't you?
Judge, we can't do that. We can't swap words in and out of statutes. The law strictly prohibits that.
Well, it sounds like you like all the parts of Justice Anderson's opinion except for footnote 2.
Okay. I don't think that Justice Anderson's opinion is different than the Poehler decision, because the Poehler decision didn't decide that issue.
Well, the dissent really
isn't a dissent.
Justice Anderson says in footnote 2 that it did decide that issue.
The issue that appraisal is the same as arbitration?
Well, that the triggering event issue was before the court.
Oh, yes, Anderson agreed that the triggering event issue was before the court and said, or he didn't agree, he dissented that the triggering event issue wasn't before the court, and then said there is no triggering event. So Justice Anderson disagreed with the majority who said the triggering event is not before the court. He said it's here. We can decide it.
He says that the majority necessarily decided it based upon the PFR grant and the question that was presented.
Well, I mean, he's disagreeing with the majority who says they didn't decide it, and the majority says they didn't decide it. There's a disagreement as to whether or not it was decided, but they specifically say they did not. I mean, it couldn't be any plainer than what they said. And this court, the Court of Appeals, has recently in Oliver, and way back when Judge Stonebrenner decided Johnson versus Mutual Service, said arbitration and appraisal are not the same thing.
Well, but let's rather than go back, let's go forward. How do you get around K&L? Because K&L followed the Paley decision.
K&R, you mean? K&R Land Holdings?
Sorry, K&R Land Holdings.
But K&R Land Holdings did not decide this issue, Your Honor. It did not. It didn't decide the Traeger event issue. And the only thing K&R Land Holdings said, and the reason we quoted it, is because it said there's no common law interest, but there's no support for the claim of common law interest. But K&R Holdings did not decide this issue. I honestly wouldn't be here if any court has decided this issue, because it hasn't. And
what's the specific issue that you're saying hasn't been decided?
Where is the triggering event for 549.09 in 549.09 for appraisal proceedings? Where is it? Where is it in the statute? It's not in there.
What do you mean, where's the triggering event in the statute?
As I started out, in order to start interest running,
right,
in order to calculate interest, you have to have a start date. There's no start date in 549.09 that you can apply to appraisal proceedings.
Unless you treat appraisals like an arbitration, which it seems to me that the Supreme Court did in Paler. Because what the Supreme Court did was affirm the pre-award interest that the district court had calculated from the date Paler submitted her demand for appraisal.
Please, Judge, they didn't do that. They absolutely did not do that. They didn't affirm any calculation of interest. They didn't decide that issue. They said it wasn't before them. All they decided was, it's clear that this statute provides for interest on appraisal awards, but they didn't tell us how to calculate it, and they did not explain how you calculate it pursuant to MnStat Section 549.09,
what was the
sub 1B.
What was the impact, then, of the Supreme Court decision in Paler? Where did it leave the district court decision that awarded interest in the amount of, whatever that was, $14,635.13?
It left it as it was.
So it affirmed the district court decision.
Again, it affirmed the judgment in that amount. It didn't deal or even discuss whether or not the district court's decision was correct or not.
In terms of what date to the interest started
of the triggering
to accrue.
Event, yes.
Yeah.
Right. But ultimately,
there were also other issues with that the court commented on. In fact, the district court assessed interest on the entire amount of the award, even though part of it had been paid. And the Supreme Court said, that's totally anomalous, but we're nothing we can do about it because Cincinnati Insurance Company didn't preserve that issue. And so they did that with a number of issues in the case. They just said, you didn't preserve it, so we're not going to decide it. Again, I don't want to get into semantics
but
to me, you don't affirm a trial court's decision when you don't discuss it, and you basically say it's not properly before us.
Well, if I understand what your argument is the Supreme Court didn't affirm the rationale or any analysis of the district court's determination, but I think we're left with the fact that the Supreme Court ultimately affirmed what the district court did.
I don't agree that we're left with that. What we're left
okay,
with...
Okay, let's move on that, because I think we're talking past each other.
Sure, go ahead.
Sort of the same question, okay, a slightly different way.
Okay.
Is there any way to reach the conclusion reached by the Supreme Court in Paler and reached by this court in K&R and in Oliver without finding the existence of a triggering event?
Yes, because if that issue isn't before it, the court does not need to do that. And that was the case in K&R, in Oliver, and in Paler. That was the case. Those were the circumstances. The triggering event was never discussed, was never decided. And again, like I said, when the first time I read Paler, I said, okay, fine, what's the triggering event?
Right.
How do you calculate
the event? Dispute in those cases was whether 549.09 applies at all. And the parties, that's what they presented to the court to decide. They didn't ask the court to identify a particular date of accrual of interest or challenge calculations. It was the bigger picture issue that the court was deciding.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. So going on, thank you. I think that was a helpful clarification for me as well. I'd like to seek further clarification. As I understand your position is now that triggering event issue is before us. It's been properly raised and challenged as to what the triggering event is. And if I understand your brief and your arguments, you're saying that under 549.09, there are three triggering events?
Well, the 549.09 sets forth three events that can start the interest to run.
Okay.
One is a written notice of claim. Two is an action, which you don't have here. And three is an arbitration, which we don't have here. But I submit to you, when you read this through and think this through, that the written notice of claim is of really no relevance unless an action is commenced or unless an arbitration is demanded. Now, there's language in the statute that basically says if you don't commence an action within 2 years of the written notice of claim is not the triggering event.
Right, that's the next sentence. But is your argument that you need to meet all three because it's written in the disjunctive and it even says whichever one occurs first. So it seems to be you could have one without having the other?
Well, arbitration and an action, of course, you can't have it in the same proceeding.
Right.
But you can have written notice of claim, then action, written notice of claim.
Within 2 years.
And then arbitration. But you don't have either the arbitration or either the action in this case. So the written notice of claim, even though there wasn't one, and the court was correct on that, really doesn't matter.
If we agree with you and provide the relief you're requesting, aren't we conflicting with Paylor? I mean, the ultimate decision in Paylor that this statute that awards pre-judgment, pre-award interest applies to appraisals?
Again, Paylor didn't decide the issue, so my answer to your question, Judge, I believe, is no. And really what our job is to take the facts of this case, then take the statute and apply it to it. And as I told the trial court, you know, good luck, because without twisting it, contorting it, using one word that starts with an A and substituting it for another isn't what we do. I mean, isn't what our courts do. And unless you do that, you're not going to be able to apply the statute to these facts and assess or calculate interest.
So tell me what the syllabus point would be in our published opinion that would say that we reverse the district court here consistent with Paylor.
I don't think you would, without being too personal, I don't think the court should do that. The court should just say it's reversed because there's no triggering event. And let whoever wants to figure it out after that do it, because that's what should happen here. I mean, I'm not making this up. The statute says what it says. The facts are what they are. I mean, honestly, I don't care if Paylor is disregarded and this is decided based on its facts. Paylor did what it did, and many people read it the same way I did and said, okay, great, now what? I mean, they did, and.
Now
that,
you amend
that isn't
your
my
policies.
Problem. Right.
Well, the insurance companies amend their policies. I mean, that's the out, right?
Well, I don't know if they'll do that. I mean, again, a lot of these policies are.
I'll bet they will.
A lot of these policies are, standard forms, and they're in many, many states, and some of them don't apply to Minnesota. But yes, they can do that. But again, I would urge the court to decide this case based on what we have in front of us, and that is an issue of whether or not there's a triggering event, and I don't think you can find one without contorting the statute and switching around words disregarding our previous decisions. I mean, we can all worry about Paylor, but what about Oliver? And what about Johnson versus Mutual Service? They say that arbitration and appraisal are not the same. What, we just forget about those? Apparently, some people want us to do that. I don't.
Thank you, counsel. Yeah. Counsel for appellant, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Not to need that.
just, I'm not entirely sure I'm clear on respondent's view on Paylor, but I will recite from this court in Oliver where it says, in Paylor, the Supreme Court interpreted section 549.09 and held that it plainly and unambiguously provides pre-award interest on pecuniary damages, including those awarded in insurance appraisals.
Right, and I don't think that's inconsistent with the opposing counsel's arguments. It's basically a broad proposition, but it's not getting into, and explicitly said, it's not going to get into the issue of what a triggering event is.
Right, and I think at that point...
it was now before us today.
Right, although you are getting direction from yourselves in Oliver, where the court did pick, the court did affirm a notice of claim as the start point for interest. And that is, those are the facts of Oliver.
Right, but if we go down that path of notice of claim, then you run into the issue of whether an action was commenced within 2 years,
right,
which would knock it out.
And here, you're right, there's an issue here. And the demand for appraisal, the problem is that the demand for appraisal cuts off the potential for an action, essentially. It eliminates the action, or it creates a practical situation where the insurance company can demand appraisal 6 months before the 2 years runs out, or 3 months, or 4 months, and by the time the appraisal is done, we can get into court on an action.
Right, but do we even need to get into that? Because it says demand for arbitration. Doesn't, as opposing counsel is willing to throw shade on me, it's arbitration, not appraisal. So, and those two are very clearly, under our case law, are two very different and distinct things.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure of what the question was.
Well, I guess the question is, how can we read, the language is clear, it says a demand for arbitration, it doesn't say a demand for appraisal, and that issue was never decided by the Supreme Court in Paylor. So that issue was, that issue was not before Supreme Court in Paylor. So if we were to interpret that, binding case law on us says those two are different and distinct actions. So I'm my question is, how do you move forward, even if you're arguing in the alternative that you had a demand for appraisal? How do you fall under the statute?
I'm going to push back to the written notice of claim, which I think is. A valid triggering event, and that the issue was decided within 2 years of the written notice of claim. So
it's not an issue of whether it was decided. It's an issue of whether an action is commenced within 2 years. And commencement of an action is a very specific thing. Earlier, I think you conceded that there was no action, as we recognize what an action is, that had been commenced within 2 years.
And there never would be an action. So I understand we're all stuck dealing with the fact that Poehler has said pre-award interest on pecuniary damages, which is why we went back and said the common law makes a very good point here. We're entitled to these prejudgment to this prejudgment interest, just as we would be in any other situation. And we've had ascertainability of damages, and we need a new roof. And that should, the district court should consider that. The district court didn't go through that analysis, and I think that should be remanded for the district court to go through that analysis. If the court has nothing further.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both for your helpful arguments. We'll take the matter under advisement and issue our decision within the 90-day statutory period. Should we plow through if they're here, or should we take a break?
Your call.
Should we see if I see at least one of the lawyers on the next case? Our next case, it looks like we're both here, so we can proceed.